All of the texts today are an invitation to humility. Now, you know, you wouldn't think humility would be hard. Just take a look at yourself. I mean, shouldn't be that difficult. What makes it difficult mostly is that we're afraid to find out what the situation really is. Just as I was walking through the door here, I thought the Lord said, talk to them about Saint Therese. I said, Lord, I don't know how it fits, but we'll see how it fits. Because there was somebody, certainly, who was really humble, and at the same time knew she was called to be a saint. She calmly said, I will spend my life in heaven doing good on earth. Calmly said this, you know. Knew she was teaching the world a new aspect, a new way to approach God. Knew it. And yet, humble. Absolutely humble. Because if we are humble, then God can do what he wants with us. So we have this text from Isaiah today, you know. Wash yourselves, put away your misdeeds, make justice your aim, hear the orphans pray. Come now, let us set things right. Now you expect after that, and of course I didn't read the first lines, you know, hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. He's certainly not complimenting them. Huh? Sodom and Gomorrah are not the most virtuous names in the Bible, right? He says, now come, we're going to work this out. And I don't know about you, but if I heard, you know, that I belong with Sodom and Gomorrah, and then God says, come here, I want to work this out with you, I'd be scared to death. What does he say? Though your sins be like scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they can be white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you will eat the good things of the earth. Now that doesn't sound very condemning, does it? You see the heart of the Father? Come, we've got to work this out. You have sinned, you have to repent. So that I can make your sins white as snow. Not so that you will grovel on the ground and feel bad. The opposite. I want you to be, you know, white, beautiful. I love you. Have the same thing in the psalm, this wonderful Psalm 50, you know. It's a great psalm. It starts, you know, God will come and be glorious, beautiful. Yofi is the modern, but Yafa, beautiful, glorious, in Zion. Summon all these people here. And then he says to one group, these two groups he talks to, we have one line from that first section. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are always with me. I don't need your animals or your birds. The whole world belongs to me. You don't have to keep burning those things up. What I want is a sacrifice of praise. That's what I want. I want you to appreciate who I am and praise me. I'm your God. Then he talks to the other group. Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, and you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? Now he's going after the other crowd. You see? You do these things and you think I'm deaf to it? Do you think I'm like yourself? That I forget or I don't have any power to enforce what I want? No. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me. He gives them the same out as he gives the fervent or burning all these animals. He says, I don't need that. Here, you're in trouble. You plot against your own mother's son, it says in the psalm. But if he that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me, and to him who goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God. Do you hear again our Lord calling us? Repent. Come back. I want to have a union with you that goes beyond your imagination. And then, watch the big shots. Poor people. You can have a very exalted job and still be a little shot, right? Like John Paul II. It's not the big shot and little shot isn't where you are. It's who you are that makes the difference. Huh? And so they sit down, but don't do what they do. Don't do what they say. And then he goes through again how we grasp at straws, you know. I know, I don't know, think of somebody really important. I know. Is that your glory? You see, here, they love to have honor at banquets and synagogues, to be greeted, you know. Boker tov, Rabbi, you know. More good morning, Rabbi, you know. You've got one teacher and you're all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. There's only one source of your life, the Father. Well, why can't we keep calling priests father? Paul says in Corinthians, remember, though you have many teachers, you only have one father. I begot you by the gospel. Under God, the Word of God gives life. And those who are entrusted with the Word of God are entrusted with this gift of life. But only one Father. Anything anybody else does is a little bit of a participation in this overwhelming generosity of God the Father. Now that's what Therese really knew. In fact, if you remember, she offered herself as a victim to the merciful love of God. She said, "Could you look at God? He has infinite mercy and love, and nobody's interested. We're that estranged, we're that afraid, we're that overwhelmed by our sins, that here is God, Almighty Father, full of love and mercy. You just heard these texts, and nobody's interested. Here, God, take me, do what you want with me, so that in me and through me, this mercy will get out to the whole world." And that was her whole mission. Remember, she read, you know, "Ooh, I'd like to be a zouave and give my life on the battlefield for the Pope. Oh, I'd like to be a nurse and nurse all those who get hurt in battle. I'd like to be a priest and say Mass and celebrate this glorious mystery. Oh, I'd like to be like a St. Francis, a deacon, not really worthy to be a priest." And you hear her going on. "I want to do everything for God. And I want to serve Him." Finally, she figures out, "I got it. I know where I belong, in the heart. It's the heart that pumps all the love to the rest of the body. And that's where my job is. I am to be the heart in the body." That's a genius, isn't it? That's somebody very enlightened by God. She doesn't say, "I'm the only one who's the heart." She just said, "I am called to so love God and let Him do what He wants with me that through me this incredible love of God will get out." And so she wrote these little, kept the record of her life, you know. And when she died, they passed it around the Carmel, a little bit edited because she was too radical for them. And within 20 years, the whole world was reading that. and getting encouraged and finding hope. Isn't that marvelous? And to this day, I was 5 years old, six, I guess, when I read. I was a fidgety altar boy. And we had 40 hours, like we're going to have across the street starting today, I think, tomorrow.
We're finished.
I missed it.
Tonight.
Story of my life. Okay. So they had these little booklets there to keep us from being too fidgety when it was our half hour to be at the preview before the Blessed Sacrament. So I read this thing about Teresa. I didn't know who it was. I remember being very impressed and put it back, forgot it. Oh my goodness, almost 20 years later, I read her life. I said, I read this before. I know this person. Very attractive person. And she's a Martin, so she's got to be all right.